Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, joined today by Byron Tardif. Welcome, Byron.
It's good to be back, Ron.
Hey, and so you are the setup guy.
Right.
Byron, the setup guy. And, you know, setup guys get no glory. You know, it's like everybody forgets about setup. After they did it, they forget about it, unless it went bad.
Yeah, if you do a good job, nobody remembers. If it goes bad, then, yeah.
You know, you are the first impression that people have with AppFabric, though.
See? Right.
So first impressions count. Now, we did a previous episode where we kind of talked through the web platform installer setup and also the MSI setup and explained all the knobs in those setups, which was great. It was fantastic. And we actually had a viewer who left a comment on Channel 9 and said, I would love to see you do the same thing for a distributed setup, because distributed setup, when you're setting up a farm of servers, is a little different. It's a little trickier, right? There's more to it. Since we did that episode, you shipped the Beta 2 Refresh.
Yeah, we had the Beta 2 Refresh that goes against Visual Studio 2010, the final version.
Yeah.
And obviously .NET, the final version.
Yeah.
And talking about distributed setups, is the interesting thing about it is that it depends a lot on your environment.
Right.
So it depends on the level of IT lockdown that you have, the way your computer, your networks are set up. So it's a little bit more involved.
Right.
So we're going to cover, or the idea is to cover one of these scenarios during this to give you an idea of all the pointers that you're going to have to think about when you're creating a distributed setup.
Right.
At the same time, we're creating some documents that we're calling like walkthrough documents.
Mm-hmm.
That basically give you the fine details of, you know, what are the specific database credentials or database roles that you want to enable for the different roles in the AppFabric security model, right? And go into a lot of detail into all those. And we have three different scenarios laid out. One is what you do when you're doing a single machine scenario.
Yeah.
If you want to do all that manually. What do you want to do in a domain scenario?
Okay.
And what do you want to do in a workgroup scenario?
Right.
Because we think those are the three different pivots that people would be working on.
Cool. So today we're just going to get an overview. We don't have time to drill into all these, of course, and there's going to be places where you're going to give us some tips to watch out for.
Right.
So we're going to do the domain scenario.
Right.
Okay, so in this scenario, we got a bunch of servers. We want to put AppFabric on them, make a farm of servers, and they're all joined to a domain, right?
Right.
Okay. And what kind of server? Does it matter? Can you do Server 2003?
No, this is... So AppFabric is supported on Win6, which is Vista and 2008, and Win7 platforms, which is 2008 R2 and Windows 7.
Okay. All right. Listen, it's 2010. It's time to get off of Windows Server 2003.
Right.
All right. So Server 2008 or higher. Okay, good. All right. So, well, let's begin.
Sure. The first thing that I would like to show is we have three different machines.
Okay.
One is our Active Directory and SQL machine.
Okay.
So I'm using this to simulate the environment.
Okay.
Which is I have my own domain running here.
Yeah.
And I have SQL installed in that box. So that represents the main controller and your SQL as a shared resource.
Right. And normally that would be a little weird to put them together on a machine.
Right.
But you know, all we're saying is that somewhere in your environment, you got a domain controller and a SQL. It's, you know, we're just putting them on one machine for this demo.
Right.
Okay.
And then the next thing is I already went ahead and created some groups and some users that I'm going to be using for AppFabric.
Okay.
So I have created an administrators group.
Yeah.
Users group and an observers group.
Okay.
And you obviously have the three levels of access for the different guys, right? Administrators in general are going to be able to read and write and are going to be able to run administrative tasks such as, for example, purging the database or, you know, those type of things.
Right.
Readers, obviously, they only have access to the data.
Right.
So this is the observer's role.
Mm-hmm.
And then users are the guys that have write access to the database. So, for example, in the case of monitoring, the user is the one who is emitting the events into the database.
Okay.
In the case of persistence, it is the one that is persisting the instances to the database.
Good. Right. Okay. Great.
And then we have client 1 and client 2 that are the machines that are going to be forming the farm for AppFabric.
Okay. So even though you named them client, they're servers.
Right.
Okay. Just checking.
So... just for the purpose of this demo, I'm running Windows 2008 R2 for the Active Directory in the SQL machine.
Okay.
And I'm running Windows 7 for the clients.
Okay.
But production environment, you would probably want to be running server SKUs on all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good.
So I'm going to start with the first client.
All right.
And I'm done with setup.
All right.
I've already installed all the prerequisites that I need.
Right.
And I've already run through the basic setup.
Okay.
For the purpose of this demo, again, I installed all the features.
Yeah.
We recommend that you install caching in a dedicated machine and hosting features on a separate dedicated machine for performance, because caching is a very greedy service. It wants
right.
to have as much memory as possible, and
it
you want
on
that
a
separate.
Dedicated cache machine.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So this is the standard Windows Server App Fabric configuration wizard.
Okay.
We went through this in the previous video.
Right.
But now we're going to go and do the more involved configuration, which is the one for the domain.
Okay.
So the first thing you'll notice as a difference from the last time we saw this is that we added this thing.
Ah.
Which is just a little hint telling you if monitoring is configured or not configured. We don't go and check if it's configured correctly,
yeah.
because that depends on your environment and on
yeah.
your settings. But we do tell you we have some configuration there.
That's very useful, because I wondered that myself. Sometimes I think, did I configure it? I can't tell from the old installer. Yeah, so
right.
this is good.
So I'm going to start with persistence.
All right.
So persistence, what it does is it persists your workflow instances to a database.
Right.
In that case, if your server crashes,
mm-hmm.
you're able to recover those instances either in this server or in another one.
Right.
So we have something called the Workflow Management Service.
Okay.
And this is the guy that goes and looks at the database, figures out if there's any instances that are ready to run or that can be recovered back into memory
yeah.
to be executed.
Right. So it needs to be able to read the persistence.
Right. And change the state of those instances, right?
Oh, because, so it has to be able to write to it
right.
also.
So okay. this is our admin guy.
Okay.
So it's basically, if you didn't have this service,
yeah.
you would need to have an admin
yeah.
that is going and deciding, oh, this instance, I need to bring it back to life, right?
So it's sort of a virtual admin for you.
Right.
It's kind of watching over the database. Okay.
Right. So I'm going to use the admin user that I created.
Okay.
to give it that level of access.
Okay.
So
okay.
I basically grabbed I have a domain called corp.contoso.com.
Yep.
And I'm basically just pointing to this user, which is the AppFabric admin.
Okay.
I have a group, which is the corp.contoso.com/myadmins,
uh-huh.
where if you wanted to separate this into like have some isolation between your apps or your farms,
yeah.
you could have multiple admins.
Right.
So you would just add them all to this group.
Okay.
But for the service itself, you need one particular user.
Okay.
And then obviously it's going to ask you for a password.
Now this account has to have like, log on as a service and
right.
all those kind of rights. Okay.
Right. So you could enforce those through Active Directory.
Yeah.
And just write a policy and enforce it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you want to secure this to, like, be the minimum level of security that you want to grant to this user.
Yeah.
For the purpose of this demo, I have him as an admin
yeah.
on the box. But you could lock down the ACLs to the specific files that it's going to be accessing. For example,
okay.
it's going to be accessing the rootweb.config, machine.config. So we have all those details in the detailed work.
Okay. So if you wanted to be really locked
right.
down, you could. I noticed that as soon as you did that, it prompted to get granted, it said it granted a
right.
log on as a service right. That's new also, isn't it? Because that wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. We're basically mimicking exactly what the Service Control Manager does.
Okay, beautiful.
So any message that you would get from that when you're... Because you could also potentially go and change it there.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that the experience was pretty much the same.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So then we have the Workflow Management Service hooked up to run as this user.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to prepare the databases.
Okay.
So I'm going to select my provider, in this case SQL. I'm going to go ahead and configure. So this is the first machine that I'm setting up in the farm.
Right.
And when you're talking about the first machine versus the last machine, there might be some differences, right? So in this particular case, I want to register the database to be used in this box.
Yeah.
And I also want to create it.
You're right.
Because
right.
I don't have
Nobody's created it yet. Okay.
Right? So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to point it to the server that is hosting the SQL.
Okay.
And I'm going to get a drop-down of the databases that are there. So
okay.
I already prepared some databases. These are completely empty.
Yeah.
So it's my MonitoringDB, my CacheDB, and my PersistenceDB. I'm going to be using my MonitoringDB. So this is just an empty database that I created. And this is what it's going to do. It's going to go and plop the schema and all the
now,
stored procedures,
views,
stuff like that.
It would create it for you.
You could create it for you. This, again, depends on the level of IT lockdown that you have.
Right.
So depending on the permissions that this particular user is running as, the user that is doing the configuration, it depends. In some organizations,
some people won't have the ability to create them. Okay, gotcha.
So this is just to illustrate that that scenario where, for example, you have an all-powerful DB admin who is like God over the databases, and he basically creates a space for you, but then you have control over your own your own DB.
Or he might even want to see the scripts that you're going to run, and that's which we have those as well.
Right. And we have three options for the databases, right? You can go all the way down to the scripts. You can run PowerShells, or you can do it through the UI.
Right.
Then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to map these groups in Active Directory that we're talking about to the particular roles that they will be doing in the database.
Right.
So I have some groups already created. So I have my admins, and that's going to go to the administrators.
Okay.
And if you remember, the user from over here is a member
of
this
admins.
Group.
Right, okay.
And this is a little hint that we're giving you here.
Right.
Then readers.
And readers would be people who just like want to see the dashboard, for example,
right.
or things like that.
Or, for example, in the case of monitoring, you could do some like BI on top of the monitoring data.
Yeah.
So all you need is people to be able to read from that.
Right.
Right. So this would be the type of user that you would use for that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, and for the persistence store, go ahead while I think out loud here. I mean, in what case would you want to be just a reader of the persistence store? It seems like anybody with the persistence store, you'd want to be a reader and a writer.
So you could use it for troubleshooting.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you want to get troubleshooting data out of, like, for example, why did this instance persisted and then we couldn't recover it?
Uh-huh.
Or looking
at... Okay, so maybe just somebody wanted to troubleshoot the database. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you want them to troubleshoot the database, but you don't want them to change anything, right?
Okay. Okay. I guess I could see that.
So, once again, because we're using a domain, I'm using this user to role mapping.
Okay.
If your SQL was not configured to use integrated security, you could also use SQL auth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if your SQL was like in a DMC zone, you could also use that. I'm just covering this scenario for now.
For the domain, though, we'd probably recommend Windows auth and this sort of thing,
So when I say yes, this is going to go ahead and create the monitoring store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the persistence store.
Right.
And it's going to register it for use in this machine.
Good.
So looks like everything's good. And this should come back and say persistence is now configured.
Great.
So I'm going to do exactly the same thing for monitoring. We kept it very simple. It's the same
idea. Yeah, it looks the same. Yeah.
I'm going to use the admin for this. I think I wrong password.
Okay, so it said, yeah, you're using an admin. You don't have to.
Right.
I mean, you could have done something lesser.
Right.
Right.
As long as you have the right ACLs on the files that we use and the files which we go in detail in these walkthroughs,
yeah,
you're going to be okay.
Okay.
And it's the same thing.
Same process here, right. And from time to time, people ask, so I will just ask it again. The monitoring database and the persistence database needs to be two different databases.
They can be co-located.
They could be on the same server, but not the same database.
No, they can be on the same database.
Oh, they can.
It's okay. Not recommended.
Okay.
They have we have different recovery policies for both of them.
Right, right.
So depending on what order you do them, yep, one is going to override the other one.
Okay. So it's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. For development purposes, you can have, you know, your caching, persistence, and monitoring all on the same one. But when you're moving to production, it's recommended that you have them separate. They could be on the same server, but separate DBs.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine there's a good reason. I mean, databases are easy, right? It's the server that's hard. You make multiple databases on the server. Yeah. Okay, and so these groups... These things on the left are the roles in the database, administrators, mm-hmm, readers, and writers, mapping to the groups. Okay.
That contain the users.
Yeah, good.
Right.
All right, so now we got our monitoring set up.
And now you're going to see this change.
Great, okay.
So at this point, we're ready to go and deploy our apps and start fooling around with App Fabric.
Except for we haven't configured the cache.
Now we're going to the cache.
All right.
So, same idea.
Yeah.
You have this that is telling you that this machine hasn't been joined to a cluster.
Right.
So because this is the first machine in the cluster, I'm going to go ahead and create the database for it.
Okay.
I'm going to, again, use SQL. The same idea. You have to register it, and you have to create the database because it's the first time.
Right.
I already have an empty database I'm going to use.
Good. Okay.
So now, once again, this is a new cluster.
Yeah.
You can pick small, medium, large. For demo purposes, I'm going to go with small.
Right.
And then the next step is configuring the node. So these are the default ports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it as is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enable the firewall rules for remote administration.
Okay. And now this account that it's running under is just network service.
Right. For cache, you don't need to change the account.
Okay.
We're expecting you to use network service on a domain scenario.
Okay.
If you go to workgroup scenarios, then it's different. You need you do need to change that.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm done with this first machine.
Okay.
So now we're going to go and see the difference on the second machine.
Good. Okay.
This is machine number 2. And we're going to do the same thing. Set monitoring and persistence. I'm going to select the provider, and I'm going to change the identity of the service to use the same one that we're using on the other one.
Right. And after about the third server, this would get tedious, wouldn't it?
Of course.
That's when you would script it.
Right. We have a sample. Uh-huh. So if you go to the Dev Center for App Fabric,
yeah,
there's a sample package there, and that goes exactly through this scenario.
Okay.
There's some documentation around it telling you what we're doing for each step, and there's a sample script that you can grab and just configure, tweak a little bit, and you should be able to use it out of the box.
Beautiful. Okay.
Because, yeah, you know, you do it once, you do it twice, you don't want to do it again, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm already getting tired.
Same thing over here.
So we could actually speed up this part, show it typing really fast.
And then configure the database. So in this case, I'm just going to register it.
Okay.
You see the change? If you want to connect using SQL Server Auth,
yeah,
then you do need to provide a username and password.
Right.
And that would go in the connection string.
Okay.
So for security purposes, when you're doing that, you want to, after you're done with configuration,
yeah,
you might want to go and encrypt that section of the web.config.
Okay. Okay.
But for now, we're using Windows Auth. We don't care about all that.
And you didn't have to set the groups here like you did on the other server?
No, because it's already set.
Right? Okay.
So you set it when you create it.
Okay.
And then those
after
groups
that,
are stored on the SQL database, and then after that, you just are pointing to, this is my persistence database that I'm using.
Okay, okay.
Now going to the cache. I do the same thing. Point it to the existing database. In this case, we're doing a join operation. We're adding this node to the cache.
Right.
And say next. And again, enable the firewall exceptions.
Okay.
So at this point, you would be able to go ahead and deploy your application through IaaS Manager.
Right.
Now, probably the best way to show that this is actually working as a cluster or as a node is going to the velocity, like the distributed cache, probably the best example.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to use this. I'm going to say, start cache cluster. And as you can see, we have the two different machines, the client one, client two, and they're up.
Okay.
And if I want to stop it, I can say stop cache cluster.
So now, if I were looking at the App Fabric dashboard,
right,
and I've been running my app and some workflows have been happening on each server, because they write to the same monitoring database, I'm not going to see events from both of them,
right,
when I look at the dashboard.
Yeah, so if you have 10 servers,
yeah,
the events of all those 10 servers, as long as you have them sharing one database,
right,
are going to be put in that database. So you only need to look at one dashboard,
yeah,
for all.
And if I said, I've got two different apps, and they're, right, one does this business unit, one does that business unit, and I don't want them to see each other's events, I would make two databases, Business Unit 1 would have their own monitoring database. Business Unit 2 would have another.
Right.
Okay.
And then you can have that different users.
Yeah.
So if some user from Business Unit 1 goes and logs on to Business Unit 2 and opens the dashboard, he wouldn't be able to see the Business Unit 2 data.
Right, right. Okay.
So that's where you have the partition.
So I'm sure you cover a lot of this in the docs that you mentioned.
Right.
So this is useful. It's not that hard, right? But it just kind of, you know, helps to see it done once. And so thank you so much for coming today. And we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.
Thank you very much.